Hello, it is the week of April 5th, 2021, and this is the 14th episode of the Blame and Punish podcast. My name is Bruce Carlson, and we have to do these until the year 2050. I'm looking forward to doing them and hoping that we change the world for the good. Before this podcast, I met with a couple of people individually to speak with them about what I'm going to now talk about. I also met with a group of people to talk about the subject, besides the individuals. The subject is reassociation. It is the control of the premise that we make here in Blame and Punish. I'm going to use the word control because I want all after-crime controls based on this standard, reassociation. The reason that I spoke to people before I did this podcast was because I wanted to be asked questions. I wanted to see if someone could poke a hole in what I was trying to present to people. I wanted to see if I have things at the tip of my tongue. As I found out, I did not have every answer at the tip of my tongue. I felt badly about that, but realized that this was new to everyone, including me, so what I really had to do was make a decision on if I believed in this. And if I believed in it enough to try and have other people help me change the world with it. I most certainly do believe in it, and I'm going to do my best to get people to help me change the world with it. I believed in it before I brought this premise to the world, but I want discussion, discussion, and more discussion. Everyone has to start discussing this and believe in it as much as I do. I'm scared as I talk about these things because it is so different from the way that I have been brought up and, I believe, the way most people will want to be brought up. However, when you look at this objectively, you immediately feel that everyone born should be brought up like this. You wouldn't want to have had to bring up your children under these controls, but you sure would want everyone else's children brought up under these controls. And there lies the crux of the problem. This cannot be a do like I say, not like I do. Aha, aha. But it can be. It can be a do like I say, not like I do. If you don't know what I am talking about yet, just remember, this doesn't start for 30 years. 30 years. You can live with that, or maybe die with that, but that can be your choice. The premise of Blame and Punish is that all parents should be responsible for the child they create for the rest of that child's life. They most certainly should be responsible for the criminal actions of that child for the rest of that child's life, as well as their own. I know that people have said, and even said to me this past week, that there should come a time when a child is mature enough to go out on its own so that the parents are no longer responsible. At some point, the children have to be responsible for things of their own, and that isn't what the problem is. The problem stems from whenever that child does something wrong, especially if it is something like murdering someone, that child, whether bad or good, would not have been able to have done that if they had not been on this earth. The parents put that child on this earth. No one is going to argue with that. Two parents, a man and a woman, put that child on our earth. If that child had not been put on our earth, it could not have murdered someone. And that someone who got murdered might have been you, or might be someone you love. What does that have to do with a child growing mature enough to behave? If the child wouldn't have been put on this earth, it doesn't matter if the child became mature or not. The child wouldn't be here to kill someone. Then you might say that I am making a ridiculous statement. Of course the person could not have murdered if they have not been here, but what does that have to do with anything? What you say is a ridiculous point is the only point that has to be made and agreed to. And once that point is made, you cannot argue with the fact that if parents had put a child on this earth and the child had done something wrong, it could not have done anything wrong if it had not been born. The logic of the argument is so overwhelming there cannot be an argument. Without birth, there can be no bad child. Okay, let's talk about it your way. Let's say that we agree that the child is on this earth because the parents put it here. We all have to agree to that. We already did. I will now bend to your way of thinking and say that the parents deserve a break from the child's murdering ways or criminal ways at a certain point in life. Let's say that when the child matures, or the child gets to be a certain age, or how about a certain size and body mass, or what about after they start to take on responsibility of their own? Or how about if the child gets married, so then the spouse can take over the responsibility for this child, or the ultimate responsibility when the child who we are speaking of has a child of their own? Did I say something that covered your thoughts, or did one of those make sense to you? And did you figure that I lost my argument? Okay, I'm still giving you the lead, so let's go over the things I just said. Let's say that when the child matures, rebuttal, who makes the determination that they have matured? Or the child gets to be a certain age, rebuttal, are guys different than girls? Because we are stupider. And right now, virtually every country has the rule already that ages are different of when a child can be punished for something or, in effect, be blamed for having the knowledge already and the maturity to go ahead and be responsible so the parents don't get in trouble. Let's go on to the next item. How about a certain size and body mass? Rebuttal. This is sort of a joke, although I know this isn't a joking matter, but this is sort of a joke because your brain isn't exponentially better and bigger, because you are. But as an aside, your brain can develop better if you are raised better. All right, moving on. Or what about after they start to take on responsibility of their own, this child? Well, let's define responsibility. There are all different kinds. What about when they buy their first car? However, if they don't want to ever drive, are they going to be allowed to kill whenever they want to? Okay, how about if the child gets married so then the spouse can take over responsibility? Rebuttal. Let's use the car answer. What if they never want to get married? What about the ultimate responsibility when the child has a child of their own? I know all of these arguments are ridiculous, so let's just say by the time they have a child of their own, they may have already been made bad enough to screw up their own child. So if all the rebuttals are ridiculous, but can make sense, wouldn't it just be easier if that bad child was never placed here on Earth? If you bring a child onto this planet, then damn it, just raise it right. So what does that mean? What does it mean not to raise a child right? It means that a child that is raised wrong is one who commits a crime. Specifically, at this time, we are speaking about a child who commits a heinous crime, such as murder. The control of blame and punish, like I said, is reassociation. Reassociation will be defined as the parents and the crime-committing child being sentenced to time together with themselves to reacclimate to the proper way of growth to be let back into society. It's like a rehabilitation. We can be as funny as we want about this. We can make jokes. We can say things like, there'd be no way I'd live with my child again now that I'm 65 years old and my child is 40. Well, let's talk about a child who commits murder. You can't scare people into not committing crimes. As a matter of fact, if you say to someone they cannot murder someone or they will be put to death, that person isn't going to be stopped from murdering anyone. We've spoken about this before in a past podcast. The thing with a murder is that it's committed during two circumstances. I'm just bringing this up again because I'm trying to show you that we can't stop murder this way, the punishment way. First way to murder someone is if you have been hired or ordered to murder someone, is in the case of your job, such as in the case of you being a government agent, a corporate spy, or just a plain out for hire assassin. Under those circumstances, part of the job is that if you get caught, you'll probably get killed, and you accept that. Chances are that you are paid very well for what you do, and you weigh in the odds of getting caught versus doing your job well and making a lot of money. So our first murderer has no concern about being caught and murder being the punishment. The second way that people will commit murder is in the moment. They caught someone sleeping with their spouse and they were angry, so they killed them. They caught someone stealing their property, so they defended their property and killed someone. They saved someone's life who they loved who was being attacked. In those circumstances, there is no moment in their mind where they say, "Oh, she's going to be dead if I don't kill that person who is hurting her, so I better save her and not worry about being put to death myself." They are not going to think about not killing them and letting the person they love die. They won't go through that thought process. All they are going to do is react. Even in the case of catching a cheating spouse, it's a reaction. No one thinks about what they're going to do in a moment of anger. Therefore, this murderer is not weighing the consequences of getting caught and getting punished. So killing someone as punishment won't help here either. At the point that someone is disposed to kill, they already made the decision that they are going to go forward. I am not saying that under the circumstances of certain types of killing that a person is bad or good, but let's look at the alternatives that I am trying to lay on the table. I am saying that in more cases than not, when a child is raised wrong, and now we'll start to talk about what wrong is, that a child could be more disposed to kill if they are brought up as an angry child. Their salvation could come in getting raised right, raised with love, raised to share and get along with others, raised so they would not have a skewed life to not care about other human beings. The truth is, the skewed child could be that person who was robbing someone because they didn't have enough to eat because their parents were doing drugs instead of buying them food. I'm just giving an example. Or cheating with someone, another spouse, because they were never shown love of their own. Or doing something wrong to agitate a person, to tease a person, to berate someone, because they were brought up by parents who beat them or yelled at them all of the time. People can be bad, and they can do bad things. That being said, and probably agreed to by most people, who should we point back to? We have to point back to the parents. How many ways can we defend parents from bringing a bad person into this world? I would hope none. But let's move this along. What does this have to do with stopping murders? If you raise a better person, crime, in general, may be cut down. If society has better people in it, there will be less crime. There will be less murders. I do not believe that anyone will disagree with the fact that good people have a tendency to live good lives. Why is it not up to the parents to make sure the children they bring into this world are taught good lives? This is a sad day because it is just a couple days past when I saw a video on the news of a little boy who came across the Mexican border into the United States. and was lost in a desert by himself, and he approached the sheriff. Came up to the sheriff's car, and the sheriff started to record the little boy walking to the car. This has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with Blame and Punish. It doesn't have anything to do with murder. Yet, if you lived in America, you probably saw this on the news. I will repeat, it was very sad. This little boy, about 8 years old, was walking down the dusty road and approached the sheriff. He was a cute little boy. And like I said, he was only about 8. He had a little hoodie jacket on. He was crying profusely and asking for help. He could only speak Spanish, so the border sheriff spoke to him in Spanish. The little boy was asking if he could please have some help because he was traveling with a group of migrants who were breaking into the United States, but they abandoned him in the desert overnight. He didn't know where to go. He didn't know what to do. You could tell he was scared. He could not stop crying. I believe I heard that the sheriff started crying also. I started crying also. And I think most people who saw this started crying. This little boy was here all by himself, wandering through the desert in the middle of the night, walking up to someone and just saying that he needed help. And he did not know if he was going to be killed, beaten, or just left to die in the desert. This was not acceptable. Why did I bring this up? Because a few moments ago, I was speaking about raising children correctly. This is one little boy who was trying to get to freedom in the United States. Yet over 350,000 children are born each day somewhere in the world. How many children, even if they are in big American cities, are raised like this little boy? In other words, not raised. I have seen wealthy parents not give a damn about how their children were raised. Throwing money at them doesn't mean jack. How does a child grow up if they are not brought up through love? Do we honestly think that a little 8-year-old boy who was walking through the deserts, avoiding scorpions and snakes, freezing, fearing noises of animals and humans who might kill him, will grow up happily? You don't have to be a psychiatrist or psychologist to understand that the emotion right before murdering someone is not happiness. If you are supposed to be happy throughout your day and you strive to do that, murder probably isn't on your hourly schedule. Don't we have a right, as we watch the news story of that little boy who was so afraid, don't we have a right to be upset with the parents who brought someone into this world and let them wander half the world from where they were born to walk through the night in between those scorpions and snakes and cry and starve? Don't we have a right to say you didn't raise your child right? That's another human being. We have a right to state our opinion. It's our world. Don't we have a right to say to parents who raised this little boy that they didn't raise him right? And if he does something wrong when he's older, how can it not be their fault? Whatever way you look at this, if a child is raised wrong, the child wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the parents. Reassociation. If the child does something wrong, you take the parents and the child and you put them into a camp and you let them serve their punishment time together. No parents are going to want to do that. No child is going to want to do that. That is for sure. So what's accomplished? Maybe parents will think twice or 15 times before they have a child because they know, regardless of how long that child is on earth, if it ever does something wrong, they, the parents, will get punished for it. Do they want to take the chance that they will raise their child correctly so that they don't get punished for it? Let me give you an exact example of how a person who commits a murder and their parents will get punished once reassociation is a part of our society. Here is a possible scenario. I'm sorry, I had to take a quick break. That story about that little boy bothered me profusely. Let me give you an example of what reassociation is. Each of the parents in this example is 47 years old. A little while after they had one child together, they got divorced. The mother is not doing great financially, no real assets. The father remarried and owns a home worth $520,000 with a mortgage of $220,000. He has two children through this second marriage. He has one son from the original marriage. That son is now 27, and he commits bank robbery. No one was hurt. The son and both parents, this gentleman who is remarried and the mother, who I said didn't have many assets, were both sentenced to 14-year U.S. federal sentence of bank robbery, which they will serve in a reassociation community. The robber's birth father is taken from his current family, and both of his birth parents will be living in the RAC, the reassociation community, with him for the next 14 years. There are costs associated with living there, and if they fall behind on their payments, the father's home from his current marriage, since the mother didn't have any assets, the father's home will be liquidated through an asset forfeiture procedure. If his home with his new wife was in both his and her name, she will get 50% of the sale, but the sale of the home will go through and those monies will be taken. Otherwise, if the home is only in his name, nothing will be left for the new wife and children and from the sale of that home. If the assets are not needed immediately, the reassociation community will place a lien on the house, so if it is sold in the future, any monies from the sale owed to the father will be taken and put into his family unit's bank account. The family of the previous wife, the first wife, the 27-year-old son who committed bank robbery, and him. It will be put in that bank account where they are serving their time. It will be left there for him upon his release. If any of the three members that I just mentioned refuse to move into the reassociation community with the other two, they will all be sent to the hole for 14 years. I'm not going to explain what the hole is now, but it's basically solitary confinement. However, even being in the hole, they still will have subsidy payments to make, and through that previously mentioned asset forfeiture, if the father had assets, he's going to pay for the current expenses of his previous wife and his 27-year-old son who committed bank robbery in this new community where all three of them are living. Now, what's the hopeful effect of this? As this structure is put into place and parents realize this is going to be the future without exceptions, I would think parents will stop having children they think they could raise incorrectly. Also, let's look at a boomerang effect of this. If you meet this person and he or she has children from a previous marriage, would you consider marrying that person if there was a chance one of their previous children could commit a crime and they, this new couple, would be saddled with the financial loss of that crime? Even if there's a murder, there's going to be a lawsuit because someone who loved that person who got murdered is going to sue for some type of damages because there was a murder. Or let's just say that, forget about the damages, that person that you married who has the previous child who committed a crime is going to be gone for X amount of years while they serve their time for raising that child wrong. So maybe you better not marry someone who had a previous child, and they may go away, leaving you with what? Nothing? Our book, Blame and Punish, explains all of this in detail in chapter 22. And don't think I am saying this to get you to buy the book. I don't give a SH about that. I am just not going to read that whole chapter right here. I am sure, though, I will keep on putting parts of it in our forum. What is most important is that we get the basics down. The basics are that parents are responsible for raising their children right. And they will get punished with their children whenever their children do something wrong, because we are going to learn, we are going to accept the fact over the next 30 years that it is the parents' fault that those criminal children are here on earth because they were raised wrong from the parents. So therefore, it is their fault if the children do something wrong. Pretty simple, if you ask me. Now, I know that no one is going to agree with me at this time. No one is going to say they are going to take responsibility for their children at this time, because they didn't know these were the rules. They're going to refuse to pass any laws to have this take place. And the truth is that it would be unfair to blame any parents differently than we have been for 300,000 years if this wasn't explained up front. So, we will put off these rulings and laws for 30 years. We will let three generations of children get born before this goes into effect. We will make sure that anyone who is going to have a child 30 years from now knows that if they don't raise that child right, they are going down with their child. No one is saying not to have a child. No one is saying that. I'm not saying that. Don't say I said that. We are just saying to raise it right. And then the world will be a better place. It is impossible to go through reassociation conversations without them actually being conversations. So we are going to have to resort to classes at schools, town meetings, news panels, forums to write in, radio shows to listen to and call in. We will have to start speaking about this now and talk about it more and more each day until it's all we speak about, because we have to change the way our society allows the creation of children and the throwing of them out into a desert without proper upbringing. If we don't start now, eventually society will end from crime and murder and war and hatred and every other human element that could have been corrected during a child's growth by parents who truly loved and gave their lives to raise their children right. Please start talking about blame and punish and reassociation with anyone who will listen, because the people who are going to suffer most are the people we are hoping will live in the future that we love. Let me just say, and I think you can agree, that the people you love will not be living a future in our world if it keeps getting worse and worse in its violent ways like it currently is. And that comes more and more if parents don't start raising their children right. That's all for this week. I'll talk at you next week. Thank you.